another Monday here on Issues Etc. These things roll around like clockwork, don't they? Seems just about every, 7 days we've got another one staring us in the face. No rest for the wicked here on the program. We're going to have a big show today coming to you live. It's the, what is it now? Press the right button here. Wrong button. Is it the 20th today? Is that what it is? My watch is one of these things with so many buttons on it. I can never get to the date when I want the date and never to get to the time when I want the time. Well, on the 20th here of June, this Monday, we're going to be spending some time in the course of this conversation talking with Rebecca Hagelin, author of the book Home Invasion, her advice for fathers post-Father's Day on today's postmodern culture, what fathers need to know about the culture in which they're raising their children. She's vice president of the Heritage Foundation. She'll join us here in the first hour sometime. Dr. Brad Stenson joins us later in the program. He's co-author of the new book, The Truth About Tolerance. We'll talk about what tolerance really is and what it isn't, and what role it plays in two things. First of all, the church as it stands today, and the church in relationship to the culture, especially that thing that's called the culture wars. Now, if you'd like to join our conversation at any time in the 3 hours of Issues Etc., our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Also ahead on the program, some open lines. I want to take up the subject that we discussed a little bit last week, and that was this Natalie Holloway story. Of course, the searches are going down. They're diminishing. And I think the subject is even greater today than it was the last time we talked about it. If you were looking at USA Today, by any chance, today's edition, sending teens on group trips can be harrowing. Parents trust kids to show good sense. A story picking up, of course, on the Natalie Holloway disappearance down in Aruba. And the question remains for you, should parents allow their kids, even if they're 18, 17, whatever they are, to go on these graduation spring break type trips? That's for open lines, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Also, as time permits, there is an apology printed in yesterday's St. Louis Post-Dispatch regarding two previous stories on Joyce Meyer Ministries. One of them appeared May 1st, the other April 18th. I think we talked with the authors of both of those stories here on Issues Etc. when they were first printed in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. We also talked recently, about 3 weeks ago, with Joyce Meyer herself, and one of the first questions we asked her had to do with her response to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Well, the Post-Dispatch is clarifying and correcting some things that were not accurate in those stories and standing by the rest of it. I'll share some of that with you a little bit later in the program. Then, in the last hour of the program, Uwe Simonetto is our guest. He joins us for our religion roundup. We'll talk with him about the weekend protests in Spain over gay marriage and what's been in the news so much coming out of Europe, and that is the Constitution for the European Union seemed to be glowing and going right along. And then all of a sudden, two of the founders of the European Union, I believe the Netherlands and France, put the kibosh on the whole thing. We'll find out what Uwe has to say about that coming up a little bit later in the program. Again, our phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June is a great resource for you and for your family. A couple times a year in this big lineup of books that we have as our Issues Etc. Books of the Month, we offer devotional resources. This one is really great. It's a long-standing devotional resource for Lutherans, but it's not just for Lutherans only. It's called A Lutheran Book of Prayer. That is a book of prayers arranged by topic and arranged according to how you would use them in your family or in your personal devotion. Prayers that date back, certainly in their theology, to the early church and the 16th century Reformation. Many prayers guided by Lutheran theology in this book. The book is $8.99 plus shipping and handling. Call Concordia Publishing House for more information. 1-800-325-3040 or go to our website, issuesetc.org. Right there on the homepage, you'll find A Lutheran Book of Prayer, issuesetc.org. Or that number again for Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Oh, there are two locations, by the way. where Concordia Publishing House has bookstores here in the St. Louis area, one at 3558 South Jefferson. You can walk right in and just ask for the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for June, a Lutheran Book of Prayer, or here on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton. Walk right in. Again, follow the signs to the CPH bookstore and ask for the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for June. Now, coming up during the summer here, we're going to be having a great series. Jeff's been putting this thing together for about the last 3 weeks. And we're going to be talking with some of the very best of our regular Issues, Etc. guests and a few that you don't hear from so often about Christ in the Old Testament. Luther's famous for saying Christ on every page, on every line, that the Scriptures, both Old and New Testament, are the cradle that hold Christ. Well, we're going to do a series on Christ in the Old Testament. Four different areas we're going to be talking with, and here are some of the guests that are coming up in that summer series on Christ in the Old Testament. Dr. David Adams is going to join us to talk about Christ in Genesis. You say, well, where is he found there? You would be surprised, and early on, where Jesus Christ, our Savior, is found in the book of Genesis. Dan Gard will join us to talk about Christ in Chronicles. How could Jesus be found in the dry recordings of history? Well, he is. Andy Bartelt in the book of Isaiah. Dr. Nathan Jastrom, the book of Numbers. Reed Lessing, a regular guest here on the program, will join us to talk about Christ in Jonah. Chris Mitchell in, of all places, the Song of Songs, Song of Solomon sometimes called. And then Dr. Tim Seleska will join us to talk about Christ in the Psalms. It's a series coming up here on Issues, Etc. this summer with some of the very best of our guests. We're going to be talking about Christ as he is typified in the Old Testament. That means, can we look back in the Old Testament and find individuals, events, or even things like the temple that are types of Christ? That is, that point us forward to Christ as the fulfillment of what they were, what he is in the New Testament. Theophanies, that is, we've talked about these a few times, appearances of the second person of the Trinity in the Old Testament. Well, was the second person there in the burning bush? Was he there in the Shekinah glory that appeared at the tabernacle in the temple? Where is Christ prefigured in the Old Testament? That is, where do we see a shadow, a fingerprint of Christ in the Old Testament? The fingerprints are all over the place if we open our eyes to see them. And then, as usual, the one-to-one prophecies. That is, here is a prophecy, and in the New Testament, here is its fulfillment in the person and work of Jesus Christ. This is going to be a great series coming up on Issues, Etc. this summer. I'm looking forward to it. And I think what it will do for us is it will help us to see Christ in all of Scripture. You see, part of the problem is not only that we miss Christ in the Old Testament. When we do that, we will also necessarily miss him in the New. That series is coming up later this summer. Tomorrow on the program, the beginning of a new series on Vespers with Pastor Will Whedon. What is Vespers? This evening service of prayer. We'll be talking about it tomorrow on Issues, Etc. We're also going to be talking about healing touch, something that we haven't talked about in, I would think, probably years here on Issues, Etc. Sharon Fish will be joining us. Sharon Fish Mooney will be joining us to talk about healing touch tomorrow on the program. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Rebecca Hagelin's going to be joining us here in just a minute. Yesterday was Father's Day, and to be honest with you, I didn't remember it until I was ready to walk out the door yesterday morning, going up to preach at one of our sponsoring congregations, Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church out in Freeburg, Illinois. I was out there, and walking out the door, my wife says to me in her sleepy haze early in the morning, Happy Father's Day. And then, again, promptly forgot about it until after church was over and people walking out, greeting their guest pastor, Pastor Wilkins, saying, Happy Father's Day, Happy Father's Day. Well, I got home, and there were the kids. They had signs up. They were ready for me. I think I walked in a little early because they were still working on a few things, but it was a very happy Father's Day. Jeff didn't make me come into work last night. Jeff went into work last night. Of course he did. He never has a happy Father's Day. Poor guy. Well, what should fathers know about the culture in which they're raising their children? Beyond just things like, well, TV is not good for them and the internet is a dangerous place to go. Let's get into the details here on issues, etc. Rebecca Hagelin is a regular guest. She's vice president of the Heritage Foundation. She writes a weekly column for both townhall.com and worldnetdaily.com titled Heartbeat, and she's author of the book Home Invasion, Protecting Your Family in a Culture That's Gone Stark Raving Mad. Rebecca, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Hey, it's always a pleasure to be with you. Thank you so much.
I was going to say Happy Father's Day, but that's completely inapplicable in your case.
Well, I don't know. I had a wonderful father, and I have a wonderful husband, and I like to think that, you know, good wives who are partners with their husbands help them to be better fathers. So,
well, that's definitely
true. Applicable.
Yeah, but behind every great man stands the greater woman.
There you go.
Without a doubt. Rebecca, I want to start with this story that's been so much in the news, the Rebecca Holloway story. And we've talked about it on the program about how parents will sometimes, very often, send their kids, Natalie Holloway, by the way, send their kids on these graduation trips, on these spring break trips, knowing full well what goes on at these events. What should a father know about the culture in which they're tossing their children, into which they're tossing their children at these events?
Well, fathers should do one thing. They should stop their busy lives today and spend a week in their child's tennis shoes. And what I mean by that is step back, and observe what your child is consuming. Our kids are consuming 6.5 hours of media a day, and the number one video choice or cable television choice for young girls is MTV, with its highly sexualized programming, which dads have no clue because dads don't sit down and watch MTV. The number one music genre choice for kids from all socioeconomic statuses today is violent rap and hip-hop music. 9 out of 10 children who go on the internet to do their homework will stumble across hardcore pornography because dad and mom haven't bothered to put an internet filter on it. Dads, moms too, it's time to step back and realize that your kids are under assault and your values are under assault, and it's time to step in and fill the gap for your children.
Rebecca, would you permit your children to attend a graduation getaway in Aruba or the spring break in Fort Lauderdale?
Well, there's no way. And the reason is because I know what goes on there. By the way, all you have to do, Dad, is flip on MTV and watch their spring break summer specials or their summer specials to see what goes on today at those kinds of getaways. I mean, even the high school dance can be a treacherous place for teenagers today. I actually wrote in Home Invasion about a new fad at dances called the garter dance. Where I actually learned about this for the first time from National Public Radio, of all sources, where this is how the garter dance is, and this is going on probably at your local high school. There's a session in the dance where the DJ stops and asks the boys to line up chairs along the wall. So the boys line up the chairs along the wall, and the DJ tells the girls to sit in the chairs, and the girls all have garters on, way up high on their thighs. And the boys are instructed to put their hands behind their backs and take the garters off the girls' thighs with their teeth. Dads and moms, this is not your high school prom days. These are not your high school days. This is not your grandmother's PG rating at the movie theater either. Life has changed, and our kids and values are under tremendous assault. Today's generation of teenagers is the most marketed to generation of kids in all of world's history. And make no mistake, they spend $200 billion a year, teenagers do. And so they are in the sights of the mass marketers who seek to not find out what teenagers want, but seek to manipulate our children by playing on their adrenaline, by pumping into this rage and natural hormone mayhem kids are experiencing, and get them on an adrenaline high by providing highly sexualized programming, all so that they'll buy their products.
You write in your book, and we've talked about it before, Rebecca, about the nature of advertising. Really not so much the specifics of the content, but the basic message that seems to run through so much advertising, which, as you pointed out, is pointed right at our teenagers. And you characterize it as basically satisfy yourself.
Yeah.
If you have an urge, fill it. If you have an itch, scratch it. Go right ahead. Tell us about it.
Yes, absolutely. If you just decipher the messages that are sent to DeGay's kids, it's all about instant gratification, selfishness, fulfillment, you know, satisfy your quench. Just do it. Just all kinds of phrases that it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out the message that's being sent to today's kids is a really damaging one. And all we have to do is look at the statistics to see how damaging the modern culture is on our kids. 50% of the brand new STD cases, that's sexually transmitted diseases, in this country, of the brand new ones, a full half are in young people ages 15 through 24. According to the American Academy of Pediatrics, this is a report produced last September in the American Academy of Pediatrics magazine, Pediatrics, which is the authoritative source on health and young people. According to them, teenagers or kids who watch a lot of sexualized programming, i.e. MTV, are twice as likely to be involved in sexual activity than children who don't. We live in a reality that is teaching our children that there are no moral absolutes, and in these very young developing minds, our children are believing it, and they're starting to practice and live that way. And it's very, very damaging to our kids.
I find a very strange mixed message often in the media. Nowadays, you can turn on TV and you can see the commercials, parents, the anti-drug, where the parent is rightly interrogating the teen about where they're going, who's going to be there. And then the parent sometimes at the end of the commercial will say, no, you're not going anyplace. Not if the parents aren't there. And they'll say, parents, the anti-drug.
Right.
At the same time, the same parents are said, come on, please, your kids have got to go through this rite of passage we call spring break or the graduation dance.
Mm-hmm.
How are we to sort this out for as parents and for our kids?
Well, the bottom line is, and this is my whole thesis in Home Invasion, it's that the culture is very bad. We all instinctively know that, and nobody needs to read my book to understand how damaging the culture is. But the bottom line is, it doesn't take an act of Congress to take back your home, to make sure that your children are sent a consistent message, to make sure that you're engaged every day to help them decipher between the confusing, selfish messages that are being sent to them. You know, moms and dads, if you don't do it, nobody's going to. And I sometimes a naysayer will say, oh, you know, when I was young, my parents thought the Beatles were the devil, you know, and they told us how bad the culture was then. Here's the difference. When you and I were young, you couldn't go into your bedroom and turn on the internet and get bestiality and hardcore pornography in the comfort of your own bedroom. When you and I were young, you didn't have sexual predators who were online in chat rooms that are attacking our kids' sensibilities and trying to lure them away. When you and I were young, it was teenagers that were leading the rebellion. Today, it's adults that are attacking our children's innocence and youth. What I remind parents every day is this. Adults are the ones who create the hardcore porn sites. Adults are the ones who are spamming your child's email inbox with all kinds of pornography. Adults are the ones who are designing thongs for 10-year-old girls. Adults are the ones who own the record label companies that are producing rap and hip-hop. Mom and Dad, your battle is not with your team. Your battle is with adults who all they care about is the money in your kid's pocket. And it's time for mom and dad to realize that and help your children realize they're being manipulated and to make your home that nurturing environment that it was created to be. And it's not difficult. Put a filter on your internet. Get parental controls for your cable television. Be savvy, mom and dad, about the videos you rent. Don't just look at the rating on the front of the box or flip it over to the back of the box and look at the little description that was designed for you to make you want to rent it. Be smarter. Go online and look for reviews from people that you trust. Make sure that your children know that there are rights and wrongs and that you are going to help them find their way through the world.
Rebecca Hagelin is our guest. She's vice president of the Heritage Foundation. She's authored this book called Home Invasion, Protecting Your Family in a Culture That's Gone Stark Raving Mad. If you have a question or a comment, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Rebecca, how do you respond to the comment that has been made for years, first of boys and nowadays of girls? Well, boys will be boys. These kids need to be able to cut loose. They've worked hard in high school. They need to go out and blow off some steam.
Well, boys will be boys. And what I talk about in Home Invasion is understanding the value and the difference, first of all, between boys and girls, taking those wonderful qualities that God gave each gender, and taking the qualities and shaping them for good in our children's lives. Boys will be boys, but they don't have to be mindless animals that can't control their sexuality. And the same with girls. What we have today is a situation where when teenagers are in those tumultuous adolescent years. And by the way, I have three teenagers, so I do fight the cultural battle every day in my household, and I know what it's like to have kids with raging hormones. But what we have today is a society that, instead of taking those tumultuous years and helping our children through them and learn values through them and learn things like honor and respect and virtue and decency, our society is taking those raging hormones and feeding the high-risk behavior that teenagers naturally gravitate toward instead of protecting them, actually feeding it to them. I actually do have a chapter called Manipulating Minds for Money, and it's all about how MTV, in particular, brags, the marketing executives at MTV brag about how they have learned how to manipulate the emotions of young teenagers, and teenagers actually of all ages, in order to create an adrenaline high in them so they become addicted to the MTV programming and buy their products. So it's a difference between understanding how, as a parent, your job is to help shape your kids during those years, or just giving them over to a culture and letting a culture teach them the culture's immorality by default.
Rebecca, we're going to go to a break here. When we come back, will you stay with us for about another 5-10 minutes?
I'd be honored to.
Rebecca Hagelin is our guest. Join this conversation at 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. We're talking about advice for parents, especially fathers, in today's postmodern culture with Rebecca Hagelin. Then, coming up after that, open lines for your questions and your comments. We will be talking a little bit more about the Natalie Holloway disappearance and the very issues that we're discussing here with Rebecca, with your questions and comments, coming up in about 15 minutes after this break. At the 4:30 mark, Dr. Brad Stetson will be joining us to talk about true tolerance. He's co-author of a new book, The Truth About Tolerance. And then, in the third hour of the program, Uwe Simonetto joins us for a religion roundup. Part of that, we'll be talking about the weekend protests in Spain over gay marriage and what happened to the European Union's constitution. Everything was going along so well, and suddenly they can't seem to agree. We'll be talking about that with Uwe Simonetto coming up later in the program. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. More with Rebecca Hagelin when we come back.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen to this prayer from Martin Luther. Dear Lord, you know that I cannot come before you on account of my own self, my presumption, my worthiness. I would not even know how I might begin to pray. Nevertheless, I do come before you because you have commanded it, and you earnestly encourage that we should call upon you. That is but one part of but one prayer in our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for June, a Lutheran book of prayer. The book is $8.99 plus shipping and handling. For this devotional resource, visit either of the two Concordia Publishing House bookstores in the St. Louis area, one at 3558 South Jefferson in the city, the other on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton. Ask for the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for June, a Lutheran book of prayer. Or for more information on the book, visit our website, issuesetc.org. On the homepage, you'll find a Lutheran book of prayer.
Discover who the POD people are and why you need to pray for them on today's Global Minute. The name POD is spelled P-O-D, and about 2 million of them live in West Bengal, according to the Global Prayer Digest magazine. Agriculture is their primary occupation, but many also are involved in fishing and labor for their livelihood. The majority of POD people worship Hindu deities. Now, only about 2% of the 2 million POD claim to be evangelical Christians. Please pray God will raise laborers to reach the PODs and that they would be granted ears to hear and hearts to receive the glorious message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Also, pray POD believers will faithfully share the claims of the only true God, who alone is worthy of worship. Learn more about Hindus and other unreached people groups at missionvisionnetwork.org. It's a resource for you and your church. That's missionvisionnetwork.org.
Welcome to the Meyer Minute. For this day after Father's Day, another great story from Allison Botke's inspiring collection, God Allows U-Turns. Michael Powers shares the following story. Brian was a special education student at the small high school I attended. He was constantly searching for love and attention. It usually came for the wrong reasons. From students who wanted to have some fun, he was the joke of the school. Mike defended Brian, even had him over to the house. "Hey, Mike," Brian asked, "how come you're not like some of the other kids at school?" Mike told him about the love of God the Father. Brian really opened up to me. He explained that his dad had left him and his mom when he was 5 years old. He told Brian he couldn't deal with having a son like him anymore, and then he walked out of Brian's life and was never seen again. Brian told Mike that he had been looking for his dad ever since. Now, Mike says, I knew why the tears kept flowing that day in my bedroom. His search was over. He found what he had been looking for since he was 5 years old, a father's love. He would never again be alone. Psalm 27, verse 10 says, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Thanks for listening. I'm Dale Meyer. Visit my website, daleamyer.com.
Live under the air-conditioned red and white big top, Circus Flora returns to Grand Center for its 19th season production, Zigong, now through the 26th. St. Louis's own Circus Flora fuses the classic traditions of the circus with theater techniques, an ensemble cast, original live music, and a fanciful storyline in what critics have called magical theater in a sawdust ring. Call MetroTix for tickets or find out more at circusflora.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking with Rebecca Hagelin. Coming up in about 10 minutes, when we conclude our conversation with Rebecca, I want your answer to the question, should you send your kids to a graduation junket or to a spring break trip? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Open lines coming up in about 10 minutes. Rebecca Hagelin is Vice President of the Heritage Foundation. She writes a weekly column for townhall.com and worldnetdaily.com titled Heartbeat, and she is author of the book Home Invasion, Protecting Your Family in a Culture That's Gone Stark Raving Mad. Rebecca, someone says, look, I've got a good kid, and my kid's got a good head on his or her shoulders, and I think that they're going to go down there to Fort Lauderdale, and they're going to make good choices. They've got a good track record. Your response?
Well, I would say you really are putting your kids up for temptation and a dangerous situation. Why not get your good kid together with some other good kids and sponsor a beach trip of your own? There's no need to send them down into the mayhem of Fort Lauderdale or any of those other places where there are a lot of accidents that happen. There's a lot of temptation down there. Good kids don't usually want to be in an environment like that anyway, because they realize how out of hand it's become. And I would just encourage parents to find alternatives for their kids. And by the way, this simple rule of finding alternatives actually applies to children of all ages. Anytime you put down a rule for your kids or you remove them from a situation, it's always a good idea to offer them some other alternatives and choices. It applies to movie rentals. It applies to, for instance, I have a 13-year-old daughter, and when she goes over to friends' homes for sleepover, she's always got to call me and tell me what movies they've got rented. And I go online. Usually I go to PluggedInOnline.com. to look up movie reviews to see what the content is like. And if I don't think she should watch the movie, I always offer alternatives. I'll pick you up for ice cream. I can go rent other movies for you guys. Just offering all kinds of alternatives. That's usually where a lot of parents make the mistake. They just say no, and they do it harshly, and they crush their children in the process instead of understanding that children really do need choices.
Two quick final questions. What kind of fathers, on the heels of this Father's Day, what kind of fathers will we produce if we permit our young men, our sons, to indulge themselves in the kind of teenage revelry that is now considered just part of growing up, Mardi Gras, spring break, graduation junket?
Well, I think what we have to do is look at what's happened to our country over the last 50 years as we've had a steady decline of the culture, and we'll find the answer to that question. In 1950, for every 100 babies that were born, 12 were born to a broken family. That is, they were either born out of wedlock or they were born to a family that would soon suffer divorce. Fast forward to the year 2000, when now in these last 50 years, God has slowly been removed from the public square. You can't pray in public schools anymore. You can't read the Bible in public schools. Moral absolutes were attacked. You can't post the Ten Commandments in public places anymore. And what's been replaced is moral relativism, the feel good, you know, if it feels good, do it. And so what we have now in the year 2000 was in the latest study that was in the year 2000, for every 100 babies that were born, 60 were born out of wedlock or to a broken family. Now, this is unbelievable statistic. And if you continue down this path and our young boys are continued to be given the message, like all you have to do is flip on any television show and you see that fathers are portrayed as worthless and ignorant and irrelevant, and if our kids are not taught moral absolutes and the value of fatherhoods and families, I'm afraid that we're going to get to a point where the vast majority of children in this country are going to be raised fatherless. Right now, it's a full 34% of all children are not living with their father. That's a horrible, dreadful statistic, and we're robbing our children of their best futures, and we're robbing our country of its best future, too. So it's time for those of us who understand the value of family and of moral absolutes to fight the home invasion, to find allies in the battle, and take back our homes.
Finally, Rebecca, what's the best piece of advice that you would give to fathers on this Father's Day?
It's to say, fathers, you must become engaged. Your family needs you. Your family needs you desperately. Your sons and daughters need you to be men of character. They need you to set standards for the household and to model the behavior. This is not a message we're getting from society, but dads, your place is critical in the home, and your influence on your children will be far greater than you can ever imagine. You just have to become engaged.
Rebecca Hagelin, thank you for being our guest.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Rebecca Hagelin is vice president of the Heritage Foundation. She is author of the book Home Invasion, Protecting Your Family in a Culture That's Gone Stark Raving Mad. She also writes a weekly column for both townhall.com and wordnetdaily.com titled Heartbeat.
Aruba has been a safe haven for so many people. People have come here. We've catered to millions of people from all over the world and without any incidents.
I will go on believing that my daughter is alive until otherwise. Absolutely. I do not sit around and feel that my daughter has been murdered.
That's Beth Holloway Twitty, the mother of Natalie Holloway, who disappeared in Aruba several weeks back. Before that, we heard Dick Miller. He's a tour consultant in Aruba, and in between, the voices of worshipers at a prayer vigil for the missing Natalie Holloway. One of the things I want to get from you is an answer to the question. We've come to that point in the conversation just a minute ago with Rebecca Hagelin about whether or not you would send your kid on one of these graduation trips. It's open lines until 4:30. Our call-in numbers, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Yesterday, USA Today had a big headline, sending teens on group trips can be harrowing. Parents must trust kids to show good sense. Maybe more than just trust kids to show good sense, you could say, look, I trust you. That's today's USA Today. I trust you, but I'm still going to say no. I read through the story. It talks about the bad things that can happen and how parents are filled with trepidation and fear when their kids go on these trips, whether they're far away or nearby. Bad things can even happen to our kids when they go to Disney World or other safer venues. I did not think, I don't think I saw in the USA Today story, the alternative of simply saying, no, you're not going on the trip. So what do you think of that alternative? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We talked about this last week. I'd like to hear from you some more on this. If your son or daughter approached you as you go, as we're getting here, let's say near the end of the school year, they're a senior, right there in the middle of the year, they're saying, look, we're planning a big trip, and I'm going to have to start earning some money for this, Mom and Dad. We want to go as a class, everyone who can afford it, to Aruba. We'll take some adults with us. But mostly this is for us, after graduation, after we put in all the hard work and passed all our exams, for us to blow off some steam. We'll be good. We're going to go down there and just have a good time. And everyone's going. And all my friends are going. And it won't cost you a penny, Mom or Dad, or maybe I'll just ask you to help out a little bit. What do you say? The best callers will get Rebecca Hagelin's book called Home Invasion, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, it's a dangerous world. There's no doubt about it. Rebecca was talking about the dances that, school dances, and what happens at school-sponsored dances. And by the way, I should say that that kind of thing not only takes place at dances sponsored by public schools, but similar kind of things take place even at dances sponsored by bigger parochial schools, too. So school is dangerous. The media is dangerous. Their own bedroom is dangerous because, of course, many of them have access to the internet in there. So is the trip just one more danger that we are willing to expose our kids to? Even if it doesn't end like Natalie Holloway, where she goes but doesn't come back. How would you respond to someone who says, look, it's 2 days rite of passage? In maybe the 40s or the 50s, the rite of passage for the young man or the young, more likely the young man than the young woman, was the road trip. You got in the car, the old sedan with your boys, and you drove across the country to the Grand Canyon and then yelled and came back. And it was all in good, clean fun. You know, you look at television, you see what's going on at Daytona Beach. You look at what's going on at Fort Lauderdale. And a lot of the kids you see there, it's hard to tell how old kids are when you get as old as I am, but you look at them and you think, well, those are probably college kids, university kids. They're of legal age, one would hope. And they are, at least in the eyes of society, legally adults. And if they can raise the money and find a way down there, they probably don't have to ask Mom or Dad. Would it make a difference to you if your child was in high school as opposed to college age? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. It's open lines until 4:30. The best callers on this subject with an answer to that question. Get a copy of Rebecca Hagelin's book, Home Invasion, Protecting Your Family in a Culture That's Gone Stark, Raving Mad. Coming up after Open Lines, we're going to be talking with Dr. Brad Stetson. He's a lecturer in American politics at Azusa Pacific University, in rhetoric at Chapman University as well, and he's co-author of this new book called The Truth About Tolerance. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, I didn't mention this before, but after we talk with Uwe Simonetto in the third hour of the program, we will be welcoming Brian Gadawa, regular guest here on the program, a Hollywood screenwriter, to get movie reviews, this time not only reviewing the movies that are out on the big screen, but also those that are coming out again on DVD and VHS for the little screen as well. More people are watching those nowadays. Brian will bring us up to date on what people are watching and what worldviews are being portrayed there in the last 25 minutes of Issues, etc. It's open lines, and as usual, anything you want to talk about, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Also in the news, literally in the news, an apology. This is not unusual. To our readers, an apology appeared in yesterday's St. Louis Post-Dispatch regarding two stories about Joyce Meyer Ministries, one that ran early in May, the other in mid-April. I think we talked with the reporters, or at least one of the reporters who worked on these stories here on Issues, etc. The apology begins this way. Stories that ran in the newspaper about Joyce Meyer Ministries contained errors. And then it goes on to enumerate the errors that were found in those stories about Joyce Meyer Ministries. Now, this doesn't pertain so much to the series that they did sometime back on Joyce Meyer, but on the stories that followed up on that. Now, a couple weeks ago, we had the privilege of talking with Joyce Meyer herself, and one of the first things I asked her was how she would like to respond to everything that had been written about her in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Here's what she had to say.
Well, we actually finally took out a full-page ad in the Post and told our side of the story because we had, like, two whole pages of documented things that they had said about us that just absolutely were incorrect. And basically what happened was one of their reporters came and said he wanted to do an interview on our outreaches, especially our outreach in the inner city called St. Louis Dream Center. And we'd never really given a full interview to a reporter like that. And so we finally agreed to do it, and then they just kept wanting to get into more and more and more and more and more and more and more. And then another one of the reporters got involved in it, and she seemed to kind of have a personal agenda. And to be honest with you, when the stories first came out, I was absolutely just flabbergasted and appalled because they said that we were possibly under an IRS investigation, and that's just totally not true. I've never heard anything from the IRS, never have been challenged by the IRS in any way, shape, or form. And the thing that's a shame about that kind of stuff is when, you know, even though they say possibly, you know, they cover themselves by not making direct statements, but it still appears to everybody else like, you know, you may be doing something wrong.
That was Joyce Meyer with us a couple of weeks ago during an interview that we had, and she was responding to the whole issue of what had been printed in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch about her in May and in April. Now, that was her response. She mentioned the full-page ad that they took out to respond to the basics. So yesterday in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, an apology to the readers, it says, we discovered references that needed to be corrected or clarified. Now, among these things are, first of all, that one of the stories erroneously, this is according to the apology, erroneously stated that the ministry paid all the bills related to a ministry parsonage. Well, that is not true. It was also not true in the apology that Joyce Meyer receives a free use of the plane that the ministry owns and various vehicles. That was stated in the May story. Also not true. What actually happens is she has a salary package, and then any personal use of the ministry's corporate plane or automobiles is deducted from those totals. Among the other things that are being corrected in the apology, it was reported that a spokesman for Joyce Meyer Ministries used the word hefty to describe Joyce Meyer's salary. He did not. That was actually the reporter's characterization of Joyce's salary. And also reported was that there was a reduction in Meyer's salary in 2004 to $250,000 a year. The spokesman did not say that either. Now, there's this whole issue about royalties that were paid or received by Joyce Meyer personally for her books and tapes. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch had reported that a spokesman for the ministry had declined to disclose those. Well, not quite true, says the apology. What the spokesman said was that the information was unavailable to him and that it was really a matter between Joyce and her publisher, a business decision there. And then finally, the last thing that is corrected in this apology in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch to Joyce Meyer Ministries and their readers, it says, according to the ministry, ministry employees do not work on books and tapes for which Meyer personally receives royalties. Now, this is all tied up with how the money flows in Joyce Meyer Ministries. My question for you, does this apology by the St. Louis Post-Dispatch exonerate Joyce Meyer Ministries with you, as far as you're concerned? I mean, many people were suspicious of what was printed there, suspicious, generally speaking, of what's printed in newspapers, especially the Post-Dispatch. Does this exonerate Joyce Meyer? Now, there are things that are apologized for, but they're clear that they stand by the rest of the story. The other things that were reported that are not mentioned in this apology. Does it exonerate Joyce Meyer Ministries, as far as you're concerned? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, we've taken pains to both talk to the reporters when the stories came out, but also when we had opportunity to talk with Joyce to ask her about it as well. Here's another link in the chain. I want to know what you think about it. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, see, you got to hand it to newspapers that will publish their corrections and their clarifications, especially when it comes to a high-profile story like this. I mean, if they got the facts wrong, and that's really the only thing at issue here, were the facts as reported in the story correct? The one thing that's not mentioned in the apology is the whole thing about the IRS investigation. Now, Joyce says they didn't come out and say I was being investigated. They simply reported that someone said I was being investigated. She believes it amounted to the same thing. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch does not mention that as something that they want to correct. So I've got two questions on the table for you. First of all, concerning our teenagers, the disappearance of Natalie Holloway, and whether or not you would allow your teenage son or daughter to go on one of these graduation junkets or a spring break trip, or nowadays, this becomes perennial, nowadays, Mardi Gras, too. Well, gotta go to Mardi Gras. Gotta go down to New Orleans or one of the other big southern cities to Mardi Gras. Would you let your kid go? If you have, I want to hear about it. You let them go, they went, they had a good time, they came back, and all was well. Tell me about it. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. While I have serious theological differences with Joyce Meyer, and I'm, to tell you the truth, not particularly personally interested in the finances of her ministry, as long as they're being conducted legally and above board. There's been a lot of suspicion raised in the press about how the money flows at Joyce Meyer Ministries. To whom? For whom? Does the apology from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch in yesterday's paper exonerate Joyce Meyer in your way of thinking? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. While we're waiting for your phone calls, we have a new underwriter here at Issues Etc., LCMS World Relief. We've talked with Pastor Matt Harrison on this program many times, and sometimes when you hear him, you are hearing him via satellite phone from the other side of the world, in Sri Lanka, once we spoke with him, also in Africa, where he talks about the dire conditions that people suffer and the dangers that people suffer, not only from natural disasters like the tsunamis, but also Christian persecution or just the simple poverty that many Christians and non-Christians live in places like Africa. Now, we've talked about it. LCMS World Relief is doing something about it. They are helping people in the Sudan, refugees from Christian persecution in the south, even Muslims who are being persecuted in the west. They're giving aid to schools, basic necessities like grinding mills. We're proud to have LCMS World Relief as an underwriter of Issues, Etc. For more information, go to our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Right there on the homepage, you'll find the logo for LCMS World Relief. You can click on it and get more information, or you can call area code 314-996-1683, area code 314-996-1683. Now, someone had asked me last week, would you let your daughter go on one of these trips? I've got a good daughter. She's got a good head on her shoulders. I dare say, for her age, she's really quite mature. We've got a couple years before she approaches us with the can I go to Fort Lauderdale question. At least I hope we've got a couple years. I think my answer if she asked me today would be exactly the same answer I would give her if she's 18. No. I would probably add, at least rhetorically, no, are you crazy? That is, I've already given her that answer when we were watching coverage of the Natalie Holloway disappearance. Now, she didn't ask me, Dad, can I go? Wouldn't it be nice to go to Aruba? No. The only way she's going to Fort Lauderdale is if Dad drives her down there. The only way she's going to Daytona Beach is if Dad and Mom accompany her. The only way, now she's been to Aruba with us, the only way she's going back is with Mom and Dad. Or, we're fortunate enough to marry her off to some decent fellow, he can take her down there and foot the bill. But until then, not with her high school friends, not with her college friends, if I have anything to say about it. Now, I had someone walk up to me and say, now, you just wait, the time's going to come. There's going to be so much pressure here, and you're going to be, if you want to stay cool, be the, and I, right now, I'm the cool dad. I am basking in that period of time, the magical daddy-daughter period of time in which I'm cool. You don't want to lose that, do you, Wilkin? Look, rather keep my daughter. What do you think? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Norm, here before the break, calling from his car. Norm, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Todd. I just want to comment on the Joyce Meyer Ministries and those others like it, not just picking on it. But I've been a pastor for almost 40 years, and I have difficulty with the luxurious living and luxurious salaries. And I realize, you know, you've got to be careful about being judgmental, because that's an opinion of mine here about what would be luxurious or not, and all. But I realize Joyce Meyer does believe in the so-called prosperity teaching about Christians should be able to be rich, etc., whatever all she means by that, along with many others. Well, even though I would be considered charismatic, I don't agree with that teaching at all. And I don't necessarily agree that we have to be poverty either, but it's just that, you know, the big ministries where the big money's flowing, that just because the money's available does not mean that I need to really use it up myself, even if it's a small percentage of the total ministry, which probably it is. So I just wanted to say, you know, her or anyone else that's involved in such things, I have difficulty with that type of living.
Norm, thank you very much, and thanks for the call. What about the rest of you? Norm says, look, whether she's using or misusing the money, maybe the lifestyle's too extravagant. You know, I've asked myself that question. When it comes to monetary success, someone like Joyce Meyer, how much is too much? Our call-in numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Cold during this break. Open lines continues after this.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.